tell your mom about Michael. Got a guy that makes you scream and shout.
This is Punk News editor Ricky Frankel back with another interview episode. This time I talked with vocalist Andy Slaniev and bassist Ryan Ballas of The Eradicator, the band based totally on the Kids in the Hall sketch, which I believe is of the same name. If you haven't seen the sketch before, I highly recommend you watch it before listening to this interview. The YouTube video of it should be provided below in the Punk News post for this interview. The three of us talked about the self-titled record, which just came out on October 13th through Stonewalled. We talked about the two awesome and hilarious music videos that they recently released. We talked about the band's connection to Direct Hit. And we also talked about how a screw-up of mine in my review of their 2015 10-inch EP actually ended up helping the band in the long run. And we talked about a lot more. But that especially was hilariously shocking when you get to that part of the interview. I want to say thanks to Aubin, Adam, and John for letting me pollute the Punk News podcast feed with these interviews. Thanks to Kendra Sheets, the Eradicator's PR person, for helping put this interview together. Thanks to Greg Simpson for producing not only my interviews, but also the roundtable discussions. He does a lot of work and I really appreciate it. I want to thank my brother Andrew for helping me kind of stitch this interview together. I also want to thank Brian Paredes, as usual, Brian Paredes of Pairs, for the amazing theme song for my interviews. It's great. I love it. If you want to get in touch with us or send any of us on the podcast hate mail, send it to podcast@punknews.org. Before we get started with the interview, here is the song I'm a Squash Man from the Eradicator's new self-titled album. Enjoy. So I am here with Andy Slania and Ryan Ballas of The Eradicator. Guys, how are you doing today?
Very good.
Good.
Cool. You guys just put out the Eradicator full length through Stonewalled. Well, today is the 14th, so it came out yesterday. I think it's I've been a fan since the 10-inch came out. I think it made my 2015 end of the year list, and it was great. I think you guys have found something really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. So my first question is, and I feel like I just feel like this needs to be asked, but this is such a fucking basic question. But I think it needs to be asked. How did the band get to like come together, and why base it on like this specific Kids in the Hall skit? And at this point, do you think it's just this is just a joke that has gone completely out of control?
Yeah, it is. But yeah, it is. So this whole thing came together back in like 2012. So my last band, which was one of my last bands, which was called Tension Generation, we were running through issues with like members, just like people coming and going, and you know, that was more of like a serious hardcore band. So I wanted to keep going, and I wanted to do something that was a little more, I don't know, just different, just a little more fun. So, and I didn't have anyone else to play with. So I just decided to go into my practice space and try to write a song and come up to lyrics to something. And, you know, I came up with one song, and for some reason, in the chorus, there's one line that just stuck out, and it was like the Eradicator part from the Kids in the Hall sketch. And I don't know why it just stuck out, but it just did. I'm like, oh, well, I'm just going to throw that in the chorus, and I'm going to write a song from the perspective of that character, like about that character. And then, you know, I also like have never sang in a band before. So, you know, that was, I don't come up with lyrics easily. So that was, I just rolled with it. And then a week later I got back into the practice space and I wrote another song, and I'm like, I don't have lyrics. I'm just going to keep going with this thing where it's just like, I'm going to start a band based on this character. And I wrote five songs. And again, that was in 2012. And I asked my friend, Nick Woods from Direct Hit, if he wanted to be in it. And he's like, no, I don't. But if you want to start a band with me and my brother, I'd be happy to have you in that. And that band was Galactic Cannibal.
Oh, no shit. And that's awesome.
Yeah. And that's how I met Ryan. That's how I, you know, started going up and hanging out in Milwaukee more. And that was before Direct Hit got signed to Red Scare. Mm-hmm. So we were, you know, we were doing stuff. We played shows and we wrote that first record, and then Direct Hit got really popular, and Nick and Steve, who also plays in Eradicator and was was in Galactic Cannibal as well, they just got too busy with shows and couldn't do Galactic Cannibal anymore, so we broke up. So I think like 3 to 4 months later, you know, I was kind of like, oh, I want to do a band, and I was sitting on this Eradicator stuff for a while. I'm like, you know what, I'm just gonna do it. I'm just gonna, you know, try to figure out with other members and, you know, just try to do it. And I asked Nick if Direct Hit would be interested in being the backing band for it. And he said, yeah, sure, it sounds great. So we did the first, that 10-inch, and that's kind of how it evolved. And from there, it's just, I don't know, it's the whole concept of taking something to the point of, you know, where it shouldn't go. And that's where we are right now.
Oh, actually, that's interesting you say that, because my third question was, the Eradicator has, you know, connections to Direct Hit, and I was going to ask you how that happened. So perfect. Now I know some of the Direct Hit band members actually played on this record too, right?
Yeah, Steve and Danny played on this record.
That's right. So, okay. My next question is, has word gotten to any of the people that used to be in Kids in the Hall, like, about this band?
I tried. I kind of tried. I'll get sued eventually. I know I will, which is actually, that's the goal of the band. If I get sued, the band's over, because that means the Hall of acknowledge that it exists. Kevin McDonald was in Chicago a year ago.
Yeah.
And the 10-inch was out, obviously, and he did this stand-up thing at a theater in Chicago, and I went to it, and there was like probably 50 or 60 people there, and I had copies to give them. And like, I also got super nervous. So I started drinking before that. And, you know, his set ended. I'm like, all right, I'm going to muster up the courage to go see him and like introduce myself. And I talked to a bartender. I'm like, hey, I, you know, I do this band. It's based on a sketch. And the bartender's like, whoa, like he would really be into this, but like he left. He's not here anymore. And I'm like, okay, well, can I like get his address to mail him records? He's like, no, of course you can't. Like, you did a lot. Like, you're obviously insane. So he's like, I'll take them and I'll mail them to him, but I'm not going to give you his address. I'm like, all right, that's fine. So he might have the records. They might be aware of it, but who knows?
Okay, so I want to make sure you're this band, in a sense, is a troll on Kids in the Hall.
It's not a troll. It's, I don't know.
Just like a funny thing. Just as, I mean, until you get sued, I think that's a funny concept.
Yeah. It's just an appreciation of the sketch and the character and trying to, you know, evolve the character to the point where like, if the Eradicator was like a real life human being, like how would he live? And it's kind of like the full length, just kind of, kind of kept going on that concept.
We'll put it this way. I've never met a bigger Kids in the Hall fan than Andy. He loves it more than anything.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the what's so funny is like, it's the record's funny, but it's also really good. And we'll get into some of the songs in a little bit. I'm just curious. Do you guys consider yourselves rivals with Masked Intruder now?
No.
No.
Midwest band with the mask. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I've met those guys before. Actually, Tension Generation played with people who are in that band. Mm-hmm. I know they're still anonymous, but we played with some members of their old band. Plus, like, we're friends with Jackson. So we're good buds with Jackson. So yeah, the two bands exist on their own, but one's devoted to squash and one's not.
So in terms of your sound, I feel like you guys are sort of like continuing this small trend of like having pop punk instrumentation but with really, really angry screaming vocals, and that's something I think Direct Hit does really well too, at times, especially like the last two, the two albums after Dome Splitter. I colloquially call it like aggro pop punk. Do you think like this is sort of the start of some new like punk subgenre, or just in terms of sound?
I don't know. I mean, I can't sing, so that's what I revert to, and no one would have been in a band with me to write these songs. So since ipso facto, since, you know, I did it and I can't sing and I just revert to screaming and I'm not talented enough to play anything other than punk, that's what I just revert to.
Also, Andy's also got a lot of roots in Chicago hardcore and stuff like that, which I think gives it like that kind of gruffer element for pop punk. But yeah, it's definitely a pop punk record for the most part. So.
That's true.
All right. So you released the 10-inch EP in 2015, like I said before. Now, I would encourage our listeners to watch the Kids in the Hall sketch before probably listening to the record if they haven't seen it before. But on the song, there's a song called Pusshead, and I'm just curious, what to you is a pusshead? Who do you consider a pusshead?
Brent Armstrong.
All right.
No, it's a thing from the sketch where, you know, at the start of the Eradicator actual sketch, there's character played by Mark McKinney who like ditches out on a squash match with the Eradicator, and the Eradicator calls him a pusshead. So when trying to build out, you know, all the songs based on the Eradicator concept, I've leveraged words that are used in the sketch to, you know, frame up songs. So that's kind of how it started.
Got it. So let's get to the, now let's get to the record that was put out yesterday. You guys released a video for the song. I skipped one. In the song "I Am a Squash Man," which is awesome, I was laughing so hard at this song, but it was also really good. You list off a bunch of sports that you, that the Eradicator claims that, you know, sucks or whatever, and sure. But you guys seem to, but he seems to be all right with baseball being cool, and curling is even better. I'm just curious, like, why were those two singled out as okay compared yep. to all the others?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I thought, like, the whole concept behind, like, you know, sports kind of, you know, sucking. So I think there's a couple of different facets to it. One, I was in this high school, when I was in high school, I was in this punk band called ATFO, and we had a song called Jock Jams. Mm-hmm. And in that song, like, we kind of, like, just, you know, like, badmouthed all these random sports. And, like, recently, you know, when I was, like, the whole concept of that song was kind of like an ode to that. But also, it was funny. Actually, you reviewed the 10-inch, right? And I think yeah. in the 10-inch review, you said that I was a tennis player.
No. Okay, so I thoroughly fucked that up because I had no idea about the sketch at all.
But here's the thing.
I was, like, way too young for Kids in the Hall at the time when it was out.
I know, but here's the thing. You kind of started this whole anti-tennis thing because I remember seeing that review. I'm like, wait, tennis? And then then I was thinking, like, if you think about it from, like, the perspective of a squash player, like, squash is a pretty relatively unknown sport.
Yeah.
And I could only imagine people who, like, play squash in real life, like, get mistaken as tennis players. So I kind of on that. It was like, oh, well, squash players must hate tennis, so I'm just going to rag on tennis. So I, like, so that's kind of how the whole, like, anti-tennis theme of the band came about, where I was just like, all right, well, that's the thing I'm just going
to
run with.
So I accidentally contributed to the Eradicator.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Oh, God. You did.
So thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
But then I was, like, thinking through that song, like, well, I kind of, like, from the character's perspective, like, if he's only into squash, like, that's kind of like, I don't know. That's almost like to one extreme. So I'm like, all right, what sport do I think that someone that's really into squash would kind of like get a pass, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, the Kids in the Hall are based out of Toronto. The Toronto, you know, has the Blue Jays. I'm like, all right, he probably thinks baseball's okay. And then, you know, I was thinking, like, all right, well, what would be better than what's in between baseball and squash? I'm like, curling. And my buddy Scott is huge into curling, so it's kind of an ode to him.
That's funny, because curling is
one more funny thing is, yeah, like, after that video came out, mm-hmm, there's this guy that emailed me, and it was, you know, it was like through Gmail, and his Gmail picture profile was the Canadian maple leaf with the words 100 years of squash going all around it. And, you know, he's like, hey, I don't know if you heard this, but, like, your video is being shared right now within the global squash community. And we're all wondering if you're actually into squash or if you're just the Kids in the Hall fan.
Oh, my God, it's amazing.
And he actually said in this, oh, by the way, tennis does suck.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that I didn't. Wow.
Ricky.
Oh my God. God. So for the video for I'm a Squash Man, which is, I mean, just takes it further. And I guess my mistake even further too. There's a person, God. Hang on a second. There's some person that has, like, I'm not sure who this is, but, like, you go into some restaurant at the end, and there's some person that's, like, behind the cash register, and he's giving you, like, this,
yep,
perfect look, and I just,
yep,
and I'm like, who, and I have to know, who is this guy?
We don't know.
He was, so our buddy John Thompson, we flew out to Portland,
yeah,
me and Ryan flew out to Portland to, like, do the, John's from Milwaukee. He moved out to Portland. He did the Galactic Cannibal video. He also did the video for my other band, Bad Mechanics.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, and he's awesome. Like, he's obviously a very talented you know, obviously very talented at film and editing. And so we decided to, like, I don't know, fly out to Portland for it, because I just wanted it to be a really, you know, fun, good video. And John scouted out all the locations in that shoot, and he scouted out this coffee shop. And yeah, he was just the guy working that day. And I remember that scene because I was just like thinking, like, this is perfect. Like, this guy is absolutely perfect. He did this part perfectly. I don't know how else to describe it.
It was ridiculous. We also referred to him as the unofficial mascot of Portland.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, the video came out so well. It was like, it was, yeah, I think it's, I just saw, I'm like, how is, I just remember, like, this is out of control. This is amazing. I love it.
Thank you. Thanks.
So you also released a video. I think just was it yesterday, the day before, you guys released the video for Squash Queen.
Yeah.
Where the Eradicator is in love with his racket. I guess this is sort of more of a general question, but how much weirder do you think this is going to get?
I don't know. I don't know. I've got a lot of ideas for other songs, and I kind of want to get into like certain themes where it's just like, oh, we probably shouldn't have gone there. Like, there's a song idea I have that's called Bury Your Dad. And the concept is that, you know, the Eradicator killed his father. And there's this theme around the Eradicator's family where if you beat your dad 3 times in a game of squash, you have to murder him.
Oh, God.
So it might go into that. I don't know if that song's ever going to get written. I'm just kind of like thinking, like, how much farther can I take this? And it might get into that.
Hey, you know, I love when it gets dark and funny. I'm all about it. So you have my support.
All right. Sweet.
So now one of the other songs on the record is called It's Your Right. And I'm just curious, like, that one seemed a bit more nuanced, at least from when I first heard it. How did that one fit in with the overall theme of the band?
Yeah, good, really good question. I think that one, yeah, I mean, It's Your Right were 3 words that are used towards the end of the sketch where Bruce McCall is in the shower and he's just been defeated. And, you know, like the Kevin McDonald's character, like, you know, is about to unmask him, and he says, "It's your right." So I kind of use those words, but I thought, like, how could I take those words and elaborate it onto a song? And, like, you know, thinking that the Eradicator is a human being, and, you know, he's been in relationships before, and, you know, at this point it's not worked out. And the reason why is because he's just so devoted to squash that he just doesn't have time for relationships. And, you know, the whole concept of that I tried to build for that is, you know, the It's Your Right, the words being used in a different context where it's like, it's for everyone that the Eradicator has been with romantically, it's their right to know who he is, but they can't.
All right. All right. Now, and I was curious, can you give us a little bit more insight as to who the godfather of squash was?
Oh, it's the Eradicator's grandfather. So his grandfather invented the game. That's another concept of thinking, like, why is the Eradicator so into squash? It's like, oh, well, he's got it in his blood. His grandfather invented the game.
Ah, okay. And then
if you can't tell, we're just making all this up as we go along.
Yeah, no. I wasn't sure if there's any more. I wasn't sure if there's any more depth to that part or anything like that. I just thought it was an interesting way to go with it on the record.
Of course.
So also what you guys do is, I guess, sort of like an outro, I think, on the 10-inch, and I guess sort of an interlude at some point in the record. You guys just have people, just audio of people playing squash. I'm curious, is that you guys, or is that where did that is who's playing the actual squash game?
Yeah, so it's it was me and my friend Nate Gabser. So the whole concept of that for the 10-inch, because I only had those 5 songs.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was first thinking of, you know, putting it on record, I was like, okay, I could either do this as a 7-inch, where, you know, 5 songs on 2 sides, or I could do it as a 10-inch with 5 songs on 1 side. and do something on the B side, like an etched B side. But then, like, I was just thinking about it more and more, and actually Ryan told me about this noise project called Nut Screamer. And Nut Screamer is, where's Nut Screamer based out of? Ohio, probably.
Okay,
yeah, so this guy, Nut Screamer, basically rides roller coasters and just records himself riding the roller coasters, just screaming. Like, there's a track that he has called the Iron Dragon, and he's screaming. Yeah,
Dragon.
Exactly. And, like, that's, I don't know, the concept of that was just hilarious to me, where, like, this guy spent a lot of money to press a record that's just him screaming on roller coasters. And I tried to, like, think, like, that would be really funny if it's just, like, just only squash noises for, like, the entire B-side of the record. And the funny thing is that I almost, like, got into trouble on the B-side of the record because there was too much squash noise that was being pressed, and it was almost going to compromise the whole quality of the record.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I think it ended up as, like, 11 minutes, which is, like, barely enough for a 33 RPM 10-inch.
Mm-hmm.
No, wait, it's 45 RPM.
It's 45 RPM.
Yeah, all right. Anyways. Yeah, so the actual squash noise is longer than the side A of that record, and that's kind of how the whole concept came about. So it was just me and my friend Nate playing in a court for 2 hours, and I whittled that down to about 11 or 12 minutes.
Wow. All right. That's about all I have for the record stuff, but I'm curious, Andy, you also run Stonewalled, the record label. I'm curious, what's it like running a small label in 2017 for you personally? Like, what are the pros? What are the cons at this point?
The pros is, like, just, I don't know, meeting more and more people and, you know, having the ability to just do it. I did a record label, you know, like 10 to 12 years ago, and still kind of do it. It's called He Who Corrupts Inc. And I did it with my friend Ryan, who's the singer of my other band, Bad Mechanics. And he was the singer of this band, He Who Corrupts. And we put out a lot of, you know, I think we did like 15 to 20 physical releases. And we did some really good stuff. We did, we put out the vinyl version of the first Russian Circles LP. We did you know, some bands from Chicago called Plaguebringer and Holy Roman Empire. And, you know, I went to school for music business myself, and I always wanted to do a label. So when He Who Corrupts Inc. kind of faded out, we're still going. It's just kind of small run cassette and digital only. But I got to this point where, you know, for one, I wanted to do the Eradicator stuff and, you know, put it out on kind of my own label. So that was the first, you know, the Eradicator 10-inch. And then, you know, just having that to be able to put out either my own stuff or stuff that, you know, I heard of that I really liked. So, you know, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have been able to approach the Bong Mountain guys to do, you know, their record. Because I remember when they came out, when I first, you know, heard them, I'm like, oh, well, Bong Mountain's a terrible name for a band. I'm not even going to listen to them. But then I actually listened to them and they're really, really good. And I noticed no one else is working with them. So, you know, I approached them and they agreed to do it. And yeah, I mean, it just gives me another avenue to help out bands, but also meet people.
Cool. And then, so actually that's actually part of my next question. Other people, on the staff are actually, also big fans of yours. I don't know if you know Tom Trauma or Sean Crawford, who also are on the podcast, on the Roundtable podcast, but they're also Midwesterners and they're big fans of the Eradicator. But they told me to ask you about Bong Mountain and Bad Mechanics. For our listeners, like, what are those bands like in comparison to the other stuff you've been involved with?
Like, what's Bong Mountain and Bad Mechanics like in comparison?
Yeah, I mean, I know you're not in Bong Mountain, but I think.
Yeah. So yeah, Bong Mountain. I mean, I don't know. I just like what drew me to Bong Mountain was kind of their aesthetic and their humor.
Mm-hmm.
But they also had like just the music is great, right? So like the combination of all those three things, and it's not music that you know, I've typically put out in the past. But I just thought they were so good, and I was surprised that no one else was not willing to work with them, but no one else worked with them yet. So, you know, I just got lucky to be able to work with those guys. And, you know, they're definitely like in, you know, the more like Joyce Manor-y kind of style. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then Bad Mechanics is a band that Ryan, the singer of Bad Mechanics, you know, I've known him ever since I was like, I've known him for 20 years now, and I've never been in a band with him. And, you know, I've always wanted to be, and, you know, fortunately he wanted to do one with me. So it's just me and him, and, you know, I take care of all the music, and I wanted to do a band that sounded like Devo. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to do, you know, another band. And that band's interesting because musically we sound like Devo, but he just writes really ridiculous lyrics. So it's kind of like we're in two different bands, but it's just played at the same time kind of thing. So that's what Bad Mechanics is like. I don't know. I have a really hard time describing bands.
All right. So I know you guys are going to Australia, which is, I mean, that's crazy. You're already heading out there. I forgot exactly when, and you can fill us in on that. But are you also, do you guys have plans for like the West Coast or for touring with the Eradicator?
Yeah, not at this time. That all worked out because Bong Mountain, their buddy Dallas, moved out to Australia for a bit. Mm-hmm. And he lived there last year, and he became friends became roommates with our friend James, who does a fest called Knotfest in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And he just turned him on to Bong Mountain and reached out to me and said, hey, how can we make it work with getting Bong Mountain out here? And, you know, just worked through it. And I kind of just weaseled my way onto playing that fest because I wanted to go out there anyways. I'm like, well, you know, I want to play as well. He's like, okay, sure. And, so that's how that whole tour came about, or that's how that fest came about. And he's like, hey, well, you're over here, might as well do some more shows. And then Dallas actually couldn't live in Australia anymore, so he moved to Honolulu and started booking shows in Honolulu. So that's kind of like how this whole thing came about. It was like Dallas is the driver and, you know, hooked everything up, and couldn't be more happy about having the capability to do it.
I have been noticing, like, there have been some tours now, at least a few more that I've noticed that are going to Hawaii now. Like, I think Teenage Bottle Rocket were out there at one point. I think it's interesting because you always see U.S. tours without like Alaska and Hawaii.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, for us, you know, we were going to go to Australia anyways. Right. And, I think it was only per person. It wasn't that much more to have to book two different flights, one flight from Chicago to Hawaii, and then another round trip from Hawaii to Melbourne. It was not that much more. So it was like, just thinking like, well, of course we'll do that. You know, if it's not that much more and we have the capability to play, you know, on an island in the middle of the ocean, like, of course we're going to do that.
That's great. And then you guys are playing Fest too, right?
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that. That'll be a fun time.
Nice. Nice. All right, guys. Well, I want to thank you both for taking the time for doing this interview. The record, I mean, if you haven't listened to the record yet, it's really good. It's a lot of fun, especially if you like Direct Hit and all, and a lot of the harder, meaner punk, pop punk stuff with some humor. Just a couple more questions, guys. I mean, is there anything else you'd like to add or plug or whatever? I mean, go ahead.
No.
Fair enough. So, I mean, the way I like to end these is have the band play a song off their new record. So, tell me what song you want to play to take us out.
Sure. So you guys should play a song called Wake, Hydrate, Baby Aspirin, Squash a Pod's Head, Stretch, Sleep, Repeat.
All right, here it is.
Wake, hydrate, Baby Aspirin, Squash a Pod's Head, Stretch, Watch your bosses!